once you're in the pulpit, though, how can you really be the way you are? To be honest, again, when I preach, it doesn't feel like anything else I do, and I don't want it to. But I guess I do understand what you mean about not just getting up and reading the sermon deadpan.
I don't want to change the subject, but when you say thinking in thoughts, what do you mean?
Actually, that's not changing the subject at all. Thinking in thoughts really is the key to being yourself in the pulpit. And for my money, thinking in thoughts is the key to effective sermon delivery. In other words, really, in my understanding, what we mean when we say thinking in thoughts is what makes everything else in the sermon delivery process become effective. What I mean by thinking in thoughts is essentially freeing up your brain to do, when you are in the pulpit, the very same things that it does all the rest of the time. It's being in the pulpit and thinking not just of the next word, but of ideas, seeing images, not just words on a page. It's what we do all the time when we converse. When someone asks us a question in conversation, we don't ask ourselves, what word will I say next? Will I say, well, I think that? Of course not. The moment we hear a question, in our minds, an idea immediately forms. And our brain very naturally then provides the words that articulate that thought in our familiar language. This is basically the concept of thinking in thoughts. It's what we do all the time, and it's what we would ideally desire to do also when we are in the pulpit. Let me give you an example or an illustration. Used to be that my son was taking an art class at a college across town. He was only 8 years old at the time. He wasn't in college yet. So my wife and I had to provide the transportation, and most of the time Claire would drive him there and pick him up. But one week, she asked me to pick him up at the end of his class time. And I said, okay, I know where St. Francis College is, honey, but where in the building would I find him? And Claire then told me. Now, as I heard her answer, her directions to the particular classroom, there were two different ways that I could have tried to remember those instructions. I could have remembered that she said, go through the double glass door, turn right, go up the stairs, turn left. Turn right, go down the hall, turn left, it's on your left. I could have remembered each of those phrases. Double door, right, stairs, left, right, left, on left. Or I could have pictured, okay, double glass doors. I can see them, okay? I can see turning to the right, all right, and going up a stair, okay? Getting to the top of the stairs, turning left. I can see the hall that I'll walk down turning right. I can see the end of the hall, and okay, I'll turn left from there, and it'll be on my left. Now, the second way is far and away the easier way to find my son at 10:15 when his art class is finished. Certainly, it's also the easier way to deliver the thoughts that you have carefully prepared for a sermon. Unless, of course, you're resigned simply to read off, word for word from a manuscript, the words that you have written down. Another way to think of this idea of thinking in thoughts is to realize that in our minds, words are always ways to articulate something more graphic. For example, when we have a dream, we have images, pictures that are happening in our minds. And when we wake up, we try to articulate them. Our mind is able to provide the words that describe those things that in our dreams we saw. When it comes to preaching, I'd like to describe this concept of thinking and thoughts as a kind of continuum that I'll draw for you and discuss at this point. I say a continuum because it's not as if there is an either-or between the two poles, but rather a graduated movement from one to the other. On the left axis of our continuum, we'll put thinking in thoughts. And on the left, or rather the right side of the continuum, we'll put the alternative, the ultimate alternative, when it comes to public speaking or delivering a sermon. And that would be thinking in words. Let me illustrate how each of these might be pictured. Start with thinking in words, the opposite, in effect, of thinking in thoughts. Perhaps the most graphic or the most stark way of imagining thinking in words would be to read words of a language that you can pronounce but not understand. Reading a language you don't understand. I remember after I'd taken about three class sessions in Hebrew, our professor said, "You know, now you can read the Hebrew Bible." Of course, we all gagged and said, "I don't think so." But he reminded us that we had learned to pronounce all of the letters, make the sounds, so that when we opened the Hebrew Bible, yes, we actually could articulate each of the words there. Now, we had no idea what the words meant. But we could speak the words as they're written on the page without understanding. You know, of course, what it would sound like if I had done a reading in Hebrew at that time. Yes, I could in fact have pronounced the first word on the page. And as soon as I'd completed the first word on the page, I would then move on to pronounce the second word on the page. And once I had mission accomplished the second word, I'd move on to the third word, and so on. But without understanding the meaning, the connection between first, second, third, fourth, fifth word would have been an absolute blank to me, and you know how the inflection would have sounded. To someone who spoke Hebrew as his natural language, it would have made almost no sense at all. Now that's the ultimate thinking in words, where your job is to pronounce the first word given on a page, and once you've accomplished that, move on to the second word on the page, and so on, and so on, and so on. Okay? Thoughts hardly enter into the process. Now, not nearly as extreme an example of thinking in words as that, but nevertheless, far to the right on the continuum would be a cold reading of someone else's writing, if I were given a copy, let's say, of a poem that I'd never seen before, written in English so that I would understand the meaning of the words, I would begin with the first word, move on to the second word, with no anticipation, really, of where the third word and fourth and fifth would go. As I read along, of course, I would begin to sense a bit of the meaning and the context and could begin to inflect that poem with some real intent. But as a very first reading of something I've never seen before, I still would have primarily as my goal to properly articulate the first word and move on to the second word. Okay? This is still a pretty extreme case of thinking in words. From here, we might move on to a practiced reading of someone else's words or a first reading of something we ourselves have written. A practiced reading of that same poem or a first reading of something I myself wrote some time ago. Because I've written it myself, as soon as I've read the first couple of words, I begin to remember the flow of thought. And if I'm practicing someone else's writing, as I begin to read through, I remember the things that are coming up next. So now, much more than in the first case of the Hebrew text, my thinking processes, my thought processes are being engaged. I'm now thinking along with the progression of thought in the text as it's written. All of these, though, are still rather to the right in terms of thinking in words. We might progress a little bit further and talk about how I might reread my own writing, a practiced reading of my own writing. This is where the process of delivering sermons takes place for many people. They write a manuscript, and then they practice reading again and again and again. By this time, their thoughts are really rather well engaged, but not to the same extent or in the same way as in daily conversation. And we might go one more step yet and talk about word for word memorizing. In terms of delivering a sermon, let's say you've written the manuscript and now you yourself have memorized every word that you wrote. Again, without question, you are thinking along with the thoughts that initially you composed. And yet, your task remains to reproduce the next word as you originally wrote it. We are engaging our brains, no question, but not as freely as in the ultimate example of thinking and thoughts. And as I mentioned, that would really be conversation. You know how conversation works. As you exchange lines back and forth from a partner, you never anticipate the words you are going to speak, but the ideas flash into your head, and very freely, very comfortably, and usually quite adequately, your brain supplies the words to articulate the thoughts. Now, I do not recommend preaching like this. Preaching this way would be to say, I step up into the pulpit after the sermon hymn, open my Bible, and begin to read, and after I've read a sentence or two, just start to speak. Now, that's the way conversation works. You don't plan it ahead of time at all. I strongly recommend carefully planning your sermon ahead of time. Now, not quite as extreme in thinking in thoughts, a bit more toward thinking in words, would be a sermon that is prepared in thoughts only. Here, you've certainly given some preparation to the sermon. You've done your exegetical work. You've decided what your theme will be. The basic thing I'm going to talk about for these 15 to 20 minutes will be this. And perhaps you've also broken that theme down into several major divisions. Well, my logic of thought will be first to say this, and I'll move to this, and then finally to that. And by the time I've completed those three steps of thought progression, I will have expressed the theme in its entirety. But in this process, you never would have actually crafted the particular words that you might speak. This, too, I don't recommend for preaching. What I do recommend for preaching would be, let's say, here on the continuum. Here, it would be delivered in thoughts all words crafted. And here's what I mean by that. During the week, you've done your exegetical study, you've prepared your theme, your outline, and then, for me it was on Friday, I would do the nuts and bolts of laying out precisely what I might say, carefully crafting all the words as that day, Friday, in my office, seemed comfortable to me. Always trying to put on the computer words that feel comfortable, that feel conversational, that feel natural. But by the time the sermon delivery takes place, I would seek not to reproduce those same words, but rather to reproduce the thoughts, and let my brain at that time, live in the pulpit, supply appropriate words. How do you do that? Well, let me suggest a number of steps to go through in this process of learning to deliver a sermon by thinking in thoughts. First of all, step number one, let me suggest a couple of exercises for you to feel what thinking in thoughts feels like. Because when a person is able to picture, to feel what the process is, very often he's able to learn to do it. I suggest two exercises. The first one is really quite simple. Have someone, your wife or someone else, ask you random questions. You sit next to her and have her say, "Honey, what's your favorite color?" And once you answer, have her ask you why. "Honey, how come you root for the Giants instead of for the Dodgers?" And feel what happens in your brain the moment she asks the question. And notice that you do not say to yourself, "Well, I like the Giants because..." But quite naturally and spontaneously you say, "Well, I grew up in the Bay Area and I've always liked the Giants." The thoughts very comfortably drive the words. A second exercise to try is to take a page from the newspaper, usually the front page, news articles would work best, pick out a front page story, and read three or four paragraphs silently. Then put down the paper and speak really out loud what those three or four paragraphs were about. Chances are you won't first speak the first word of the first paragraph of that article. More likely, your brain will summarize the three or four paragraphs, and you will begin to articulate in your own words what those paragraphs were talking about. But for the most part, even at a first reading, you'll find that the summary that you express and the details that you begin to add as you speak will largely replicate the thoughts and even some of the details of the article that you just read. As you do that, once again, you're thinking in thoughts. And the goal in these exercises is simply to feel what thinking in thoughts feels like. So that eventually, when you're preaching, you'll have that very same feeling, understanding that your brain is working now the way it works all the time in ordinary human discourse. The second step that I would suggest is to craft all the words of an upcoming sermon. Okay? Perhaps this is the way you've always done it. And this can be working with a full manuscript on your computer. It can be working a very detailed outline where every word is at least implied. It can be that oral manuscript that we talked about. But while you are crafting all of those words, stop frequently to articulate. Move your lips at least. And if there's nobody else around, actually speak them out loud. Once you have begun to write the introduction, stop after two or three paragraphs and speak through that introduction. As you've written the first paragraph of the body of the sermon, again, speak the introduction and then the first paragraph of the body. And once you've written the first 5 minutes of the sermon, stop and articulate the entire first 5 minutes, and then the first 7 minutes all the way through, and so on. Frequently articulating as you are preparing the sermon. What is happening as you stop to articulate the sermon, I like to describe as cutting grooves in your brain, much like the old phonograph record. Remember how a phonograph record worked, right? In the recording process, grooves were cut in that piece of plastic. And that groove remembered, in effect, the vibrations necessary to reproduce the very same sound. As you are speaking those words, that kind of a groove is being cut in your head, which will serve you well a little bit later on. Step number three is to simply commit yourself to deliver one or two paragraphs of this upcoming sermon in thoughts. Don't try to bite off the whole thing at once. Pick out one or two paragraphs and say, "These two paragraphs I am going to deliver in thoughts, come what may." You'll find usually that it's easiest to pick out paragraphs that are either stories that have sort of a narrative plot line or otherwise picturesque, perhaps something you can see from your own observation or something you remember from your own experience. If that's the case, then very quickly, very easily, you can get back into the thought that visualized the event in the first place or saw the picture in the first place and supply the words to describe those live and in person to the hearers. So step number three is to simply say one or two paragraphs, I am going to deliver this Sunday in thoughts no matter what. Realizing, of course, that if it comes apart on you, you'll simply, after those paragraphs, resume your old process as you have become accustomed. Step number four is to prepare by whole paragraphs for the for the delivery of the sermon. What I mean by that is to prepare the rest of the sermon any way you wish. But when you get to those one or two paragraphs that you have identified to be delivered in thoughts, read all the way through the entire paragraph, the way you did with those three or four paragraphs of the newspaper article. Read the entire paragraph, and then simply articulate that entire paragraph without stopping, no matter what. Do the best you can, realizing that you won't get every detail. Once you've spoken through the entire paragraph, read the entire paragraph again, and note which details you did not include that you would like to add. Note also if there are particular phrases that you're really proud of from your writing that you want to reproduce. And then speak through the entire paragraph again. Do that a series of times, not so many times that the paragraph becomes memorized, word for word, but sufficient times that you've now included all of the major details that you want to see included when you actually deliver the sermon. Step five. Do those paragraphs live and in the pulpit, no matter what. When the time for delivery comes, don't hedge, don't give up. Those one or two paragraphs just go as you have prepared them. The remarkable thing that you'll discover more and more is that when you deliver those one or two chosen paragraphs, you will largely reproduce the very same words that you crafted. Remember that phonograph record? Here's the way it works in sermon delivery. As you get to that paragraph that you have identified, and you glance down at your manuscript or your outline and see the cue that will set you off on that thought process, it is as if the needle on that phonograph drops into the groove. And as it drops into the groove, your speaking pattern will follow the path of least resistance, just like that phonograph needle. For the most part, it'll just stay in the groove. When your brain once again is in the same groove that you were in on Friday when you crafted the words, more than you would ever imagine, the very same words will come again and again and again. Because your brain naturally looks for words to express the thoughts and finds quite comfortably words that it has been trained to seek out and find. But, unlike word-for-word memorizing, where essentially you are reproducing on Sunday what happened in your office on Friday, when you deliver those paragraphs by thinking in thoughts, your brain really is providing those words live and in person. And the effect for your hearers is a tremendously different experience. When your hearers sense that right now, as you stand before them, as you speak to them, the law and the gospel of this text are convicting you and working in your heart, they also sense an immediacy for themselves that can never be present, even if, in a very smooth and elegantly articulated way, you reproduce word for word, as it were, from a script. Finally, the last step in the process, step number six, is simply to say that after you've done one or two paragraphs a Sunday for a few Sundays, somewhere down the line, do two or three paragraphs. And before long, you'll discover what a pleasure it is to actually have that live and in-person dialogue with your hearers. You'll find that it works, and that very few of those carefully chosen words are really lost, and you'll find that this is the way that delivering a sermon becomes the greatest joy to you and the liveliest experience to your hearers. For my money, In answer to both of your questions, the key to being yourself in the pulpit is learning to develop, to deliver a sermon by thinking in thoughts. And the key ultimately to all aspects of effective sermon delivery, also thinking in thoughts.